Hi there, welcome to the Nordjavan podcast. The Nordjavan podcast seeks to inspire, develop and equip young South Asians in their Christian walk with conversations about faith, life and culture. We're passionate about empowering young people to live for Jesus in a way that makes sense in their everyday lives, from family to work to relationships and even the church, making a difference wherever they go. Hi there and welcome to the Nordjavan podcast. I'm your host Shaquiel and it's so good to have you here with us. And it's great to be back. It's felt like a long time since our last episode, I mean probably because of the long winter, but the weather has now started to pick up and the first few signs of spring are started to appear, which has been amazing to see. And we also want to take a moment at the start of this episode to think about those who are being affected by the coronavirus around the world. Here at Nordjavan, we want to encourage everyone to keep safe, to look out for each other, and also to remember to lift up our prayers to God. We believe in a God who is great, and a God who can heal, and a God who is in control over all of creation. So I want to encourage us all to carry on praying, believing that God's healing hands would be at work across the world. In today's episode, we're going to be hearing a testimony from Nordjavan's very own Ramzi Kamalendran. I met with Ramzi a couple of months ago at a small gathering of Nordjavan leaders to chat with him. God's been powerfully using Ramzi and his wife Sarah in their local context, and we hope that you'll be encouraged by his testimony as he shares what God has been doing through them. Take a listen. Ramzi, so great of you to join us on the Nordjavan podcast. It's great. So we've just spent the day hanging out together and you've mentioned to me that you've got this story, this testimony that you've wanted to share, what God's been doing really in the last few months and in this past year. Yeah. And I mean, you just told me a little bit more about it, but I'm excited for you to come and share a bit more about it. So just for those who don't know you, just say a bit more about yourself and introduce yourself to us, please.
Yeah, so I'm Ramzi. That's not my government name. It's actually Ramesh Kumar Kamalendran. I'm a Sri Lankan Tamil. I go to a Sri Lankan Tamil church in East London. Recently got married to Sarah, and we've just been doing ministry in East London. We've been heavily involved with Nordjavan last couple of years, and we're just having fun, just exploring new avenues as to what God wants us to do, and really sort of enjoying our married life, which is quite weird to say. I didn't think I'd ever say that, but loving married life, yeah. So, but yeah, that's us right now, where we are.
Yeah, that's really awesome, man. I'm excited to hear that, actually. Starting married life, it's exciting. New chapter. Yeah. You know, really happy for you, bro. You said that actually leading up to getting married and the whole journey to it, actually there were a lot of challenges that the both of you had to face getting to that point, and actually that's fed into part of your story of this past year.
Yeah. You know, for a lot of people, leading up to the wedding is very exciting. It's a very happy time, you know, planning and organizing and all sorts going on. For me and Sarah, it wasn't a fun time. I think we enjoyed the wedding, but leading up to it, it was a struggle. We faced many kinds of struggles, particularly with our families. And if I was to be very open right now and honest, Sarah's parents weren't completely on board, and for whatever reason, we faced a lot of resistance. At some points, we thought, "Is this even going to happen?" But we knew we loved each other. We knew this is what God wants. And we also knew that where there is purpose, there's always going to be resistance. So we kept that in mind, knowing that, yes, there is resistance, but that's because this is God's purpose and this is God's will. And that's why there's going to be resistance. So leading up to the wedding, we faced not financial struggles, but more family struggles. Yeah. And coming from a Sri Lankan background, you know, it comes down to family honor and, you know, don't get married without your parents' blessings. And, you know, almost like she, and I know Sarah struggled for it because, in particularly Sarah, she felt like she was being disowned by her family who weren't completely happy about our decision. But we trusted God. And so we didn't really understand why there was such resistance until we'd come to the day of the wedding.
Yeah.
And that's when we sort of like really opened our eyes. The wedding was different, I'd say. And I know all weddings are special, but I think for us it was very special because there's a lot of people that we expected that to come that didn't turn up to the wedding, family members, immediates.
Yeah.
However, for us, like the most important guest turned up to the wedding, and that is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And on the day of the wedding, it was amazing because walking into the church and just instantly feeling God's presence, knowing that, you know, more than the priest or the reverend coming there to get us married, we had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords present for the coming of these, for us to come in together. It was really special. We knew at that second, we knew this is why we've had so much resistance. And instantly, the pain and the hurt that we've experienced for the last 2 years of our wedding planning period, it disappeared because we then knew, we understood, oh, this is why, sort of thing. So yeah, like the wedding was such a special time for us, as it is for any married couples. But it was very evident why we had struggled so much and why we had faced so much resistance. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. I think some part of your story, I'm sure, relates to many people actually building up to something that God's led you to, and you know, for how you and Sarah felt called to each other, how God has brought you together and has brought you to this wedding day and brought you to married life. And actually there were lots of obstacles that coming up against you, and I'm sure many of us relate to the fact that actually when God's doing something, that's when we often find that the enemy's throwing in stuff there to trip us up, stuff to stop us there.
Absolutely.
Sometimes from those closest to us to really hurt the most. And that's a huge thing, actually, when something comes between following God and following your family.
Yeah.
And actually that balance between, they're your loved ones, you want to honour them and respect them and love them and respond to them in that way. But actually there's also a sense of, but I've also got to balance this out with what my Heavenly Father is saying to us, what the Heavenly Father is calling us to. And I, ultimately, through the ups and downs, it is God who knows his ways are higher.
Yeah.
He knows the ultimate plan for us, even when we get a bit lost through it. So you talked about how the journey to the wedding was challenging, but actually you saw God our work through it. Just tell me a bit more about actually stepping into that married life. And you've already hinted that actually God's been at work in something, building up to your relationship with Sarah and your marriage. What have you been seeing through that? What's God been doing for your marriage?
So leading up to the wedding, Sarah and myself really sat down to seek what the Lord was calling us into as a married couple. Because I think as individuals, you've sort of got a lifestyle and a routine, and you know, you've got an idea of what you're doing. But then actually when two people come together, there is a real clash and a mix of purpose. What we're doing together, sometimes it's, you know, it's confusing because you're like, well, this is what I want to do and this is what you want to do, but what are we doing together? So leading up to the wedding, we spent a lot of time together praying and asking God, what are we called to do? What are you speaking to us? What are you telling us? And it was hard because it was sort of like come at a time where we were asking God to work in this wedding, but also speak to us about what is it that's on your heart for us. And actually through servants of God and people who are very close to us who'd also been in prayer for us, we understood that serving God in ministry is something that we were going to do, not just as individuals, but together as a couple, but in the future as a family. Yeah. But something that we were really led to do for her life, basically, and it's not like a job description, or it's not just a activity that we do for a year or two, but it's something that we felt that we will be doing for the rest of our lives. And in that, God started revealing specifics, the kind of ministry that we will be involved in. And it came as a bit of a surprise because my mum and dad have been involved in ministry for the last 30 years or so. My dad's a pastor, and my mum's been involved in the deliverance ministry for a very long time. So coming from that sort of background, I was like thinking, well, you know, it would be ministry, but something maybe in youth ministry, what I'm doing right now. But God specifically spoke about the deliverance ministry, how I'd be moving into that. And not through one or two people, it spoke to me personally, but through others as well. And finally through my wife as well. So, however, I didn't know what that looked like, weirdly enough. I didn't know what that entailed, how that was going to come together. But I knew that God had spoken, and so I just had to be patient. And also, I was relying on prayers. I asked a few of my friends to pray, and Sarah was praying for us, and we were praying together. So, having said that, moving into the wedding, we went on a little mini moon trip around England, many beautiful places. We went to Bath, Bristol, and we. On our third day, we came to Bournemouth. We went on Airbnb and sort of we looked up this really nice place on Airbnb. It was quite expensive, but we thought, why not treat ourselves? And we were still feeding off that buzz from the wedding. It's very, very happy, and you know, but in that, something incredible happened. God completely wrecked our schedule, interrupted our schedule. Heaven interrupted our schedule, which at that time I didn't know how to feel about. I was like, why is this happening now? You know, this is, you know, but I guess like everything happens for a reason, and God is the almighty orchestrator of life, but there's nothing that we can do outside of his control. So anyways, we come into this Airbnb. Everything on the outside looks beautiful, very modern, very nicely styled, very beautiful. However, weirdly enough, really, really weird, something about that atmosphere wasn't right. And in my spirit, I knew something was wrong. However, this wasn't the time to be feeling like this or to be talking about this. We're on our honeymoon. We should be, you know, we should be happy, and we should be experiencing joy, like just out of each being in each other's lives, and you know, starting our life together. And so we sort of like just unpacked and started watching Netflix, and we were planning our day. And so it was really weird. We kept hearing really weird noises, like really, really weird noises. And every time we heard really weird noises, I said to Sarah, don't worry, that's probably one of those automatic air, the Febreze sprays. I was like, it's probably that, or something, windows.
Just one of those room diffusers,
Exactly, I just tried to convince her that it was nothing to be worried about. This is a time we should be enjoying ourselves, you know, why are we sort of talking about this? So anyway, we went out for dinner, we came back, it was late night, it was probably like around 11 o'clock. Still really sort of feeling a weird vibe. Something in the atmosphere was not right. It was kind of like there to disturb us. But I just kept ignoring it and hoping it just disappear. Anyways, as we got ready to go to bed, I'd basically closed our room, our bedroom door. I turned the lights off and got into bed. And me and Sarah started talking about just how the day went, and we're sort of like planning our day ahead. And suddenly there was a thump on the door, boom, and the door sort of like swung wide open. And I looked at Sarah and, oh my God, what is going on? I can no longer keep this away from her. So I turned around to Sarah and I said, there's something wrong here, and I've been feeling like this since we got here. And I don't know why And she turned around and she said to me, "Are you serious? Because since the second we got in, I've been feeling the same. I've been feeling like something's wrong in this atmosphere. There's something really disturbing here." And I said, why didn't you say something? She said, "Well, you know, I didn't want to worry you or anything." I said, "I didn't want to worry you." So it became apparent that there was something going on. But as soon as it happened, I sort of like shot out of bed, turned the lights on, and went out to sort of check outside. And I was saying to Sarah, in many ways, I had almost hoped it was someone.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't someone, it was going to be something else. And I kind of did the calculations and I thought, oh God, I hope it's someone physically so I can deal with it. Yeah. However, I went into all the rooms, checked the windows and everything. I couldn't even give her the excuse that it was one of the windows that was open.
Yeah.
So I got back to the room and I said to her, "The house is secure. There's nothing, there's no one here. However, I do now feel the need to pray." Really weird. But this was the first time that we prayed together since we got married.
Yeah.
So a little bit awkward as well for a couple, like married couple would never pray together as such.
Yeah, so still building your routines.
Right. And I mean, that was the first time I'd sort of like sat down with her and discussed prayer even. So we sat down and I said to her, you know, in my own space, like if I was by myself right now, I'd be in prayer. I'd be in prayer because I'm, you know, quite worried about what's going on here. But also, I saw a side of Sarah that I'd never seen before in the last 24 years of dating. Was that there was a sense of confidence. And I said to her, "We need to pray together." So we started praying. And really weird. I mean, not weird, but really amazing and how the atmosphere, or how quickly the atmosphere changed the second we called onto the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
We started praying, and as soon as we started praying, we started, you know, just reminding ourselves of the promises that the Bible speaks of on protection and security and what that looks like, and you know, calling onto the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Instantly, the atmosphere changed. It was an instant, it wasn't a gradual change, it was like an instant change. We both felt it. Sorry. That little event changed our lives in terms of how we were now looking forward, in terms of like what our life together would look like in terms of ministry. Mm. And also it set a tone. Mm. And this is our honeymoon, we should be enjoying ourselves. Yet we're here in some sort of spiritual battle. And I think for us, that was a strong indication of God telling us, you know, whilst you're enjoying yourself, here's reality. And, you know, and I believe God allowed us to experience that because that was the door to something that we were now entering into as a married couple. Quite different to many other honeymoon stories that you would have heard, but one that we believe was very significant to us.
That's wow, that's insane, man. It's just one of those things that actually, when we turn to God in prayer, God shows up and does incredible things. Absolutely. And he speaks into those places which feel the light of God.
Yeah.
Those places that feel a bit dark, that feel a bit close, feel disturbed, actually the light and truth and goodness of God. Bro, are you saying that part of this this experience on your honeymoon gave you and Sarah a sense of awareness of God was saying that there's more of this to come, and that there's more ways in which he's going to be using you to pray into these spaces, to speak and to work in these difficult and maybe dark spaces? What does that look like since sort of after your honeymoon?
So literally about 3 days later, about 2 days later, my sister called me and she said, "I know you're still on your honeymoon and you're coming back home soon. I need you to meet one of my friends and her fiance, basically, there, and they're coming over and I need you to meet them." And I said, "Why? What's going on?" And she explained to me that this couple had been experiencing very dark spiritual things at home, and my sister was too scared to take this to my mum because my mum has got experience and is sort of still very much working in that ministry. But my sister said, I think you should speak to them because I think they need, they're just, you know, they're a lot younger than some of the people that my mum deals with. And for me, that was quite frightening because I'd never done anything like speaking to someone about who basically experienced these things.
Yeah, of course.
So I said to her, look, I'll come back and then we'll see what happens. And I was sort of hoping that it would disappear and it would get sorted out by itself. But Sarah and I got back from our honeymoon and we came back home and my sister said, oh, you know, they're coming around tomorrow. And I went, tomorrow? That's quite soon. And she said, yeah. So why don't you come over for dinner? So Sarah and I went around and my sister's friend, and she turned up basically to this dinner, and this was the first time we met them, and they started telling us a little bit about themselves, what they do, and basically just taking us through the journey that they've gone through. And it was quite, I mean, I because of my mum and the ministry that she's involved with, I've seen very interesting things. I've heard stories and I've seen very various things that normal people wouldn't have seen, but this was something different. The sort of things that they were involved with were very dark spiritual things. I'm talking about witchcraft. Her fiance, my friend's sister's fiance, who was also there, explained to me that he'd been involved with witchcraft since age 13. Just curiosity led him into that, and practicing witchcraft, not just reading about it or watching it on TV or YouTube, but actually practicing it. And them as a couple, going to various places around London seeking for these sort of experiences. And they both basically describe themselves to be adrenaline junkies and they get some sort of buzz from doing this. However, did not realise the consequences, because the more they did this, the more they'd seen and heard things at home. So it was really, really sort of interesting, because they said at that time they had building works and this builder had come home, who's also a medium. So this builder basically told him that he had carried a message from their uncle who passed away a couple of months before. So they had a lot of things going on at the same time in a space of 6 weeks. And they basically had enough of it, were scared, and really did not want anything. They'd kind of like bitten more than they could chew, basically. And it got to a point where they were now frightened and didn't know where to turn. However, the girl, my friend's sister, remembered that my sister was a Christian, mm-hmm. and they'd worked together previously. So she'd approached my sister saying, you know, I know you're a Christian and I know there's something about Jesus that's different to the other gods that I am familiar with. She's a Hindu.
Yeah.
So she said, can I please come and talk to you? I don't know what that means, but I just want to come to you. I don't know what's in me that's drawing me to you. Can we please meet? And this is where, you know, Sarah and I sort of met them and they were telling us a little bit about themselves. And I just, you know, me and Sarah began by sharing with them about our experience literally 3 days prior to that meeting. And they kind of like became a little bit more comfortable, because the one thing that they started off saying was, please don't think we're weird. Please don't think like we're crazy, but this is what we've been seeing and experiencing. And I reassured them saying, this isn't crazy, this is reality. So we sat down, we explained to them about who Jesus is and how Jesus to us is the light of the world. And in times of darkness, the only person that could bring light to your situation is Jesus.
Yeah.
And also we had to explain to them that in all sorts of situations, darkness and light do not fight each other. As soon as, you know, you walk into a room and it's dark, as soon as you switch a light on, darkness and light don't fight each other. Darkness just disappears. And so we spoke to them about who Jesus is and just literally started feeding them a bit of the gospel. Just some truth about who Jesus is, who God is, and where does God fit in all of this, your mess? Where is God in all of this? Yeah. And the more we told them, the more they became hungry for the truth, just to know who Jesus was. So we had dinner, and I didn't want to make it too heavy for them.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So we chilled, spoke about other things, you know, football and this and that. Had a bit of dinner, prayed. It's the first time they'd heard a prayer. So we prayed for them, and they left to go home. And they said something felt different.
Mm-hmm.
They'd felt some sort of shift in the atmosphere. Yeah. However, didn't know what that was, but felt at peace. So that was good. You know, that was good. But the one thing that they did do that kind of like threw me off was they'd invited us to the house where they were experiencing all these sort of like dark things, all these noises and seeing different things at the house. So that was on a Thursday. And I said to Sarah, you know, we'll go to their house. I'm not going without fasting or praying. You know, I know this is important. We must fast and we must pray. We need God in this. And so we were reminded of the times where the disciples were basically trying to cast out a demon and they couldn't do it. And Jesus said, you know, with these things, you need to fast and you must pray. So bearing that in mind, we began to fast from Thursday night onwards up to Sunday, where we're going to their house. One of our very, very close friends called Aaron Nigam, who is also very heavily involved with Nordjavan, came to church that Sunday. So I basically tagged him along. He didn't know what was going on. I said, why don't you come with us? You know, I sort of gave him a background feel about what was going on. So he came along with us. Church service finished, and I sat there and I thought to myself, God is so much greater than all of our problems, even fear itself. God is bigger than any of our fears. So, you know, why should you, as a Christian, feel scared about approaching these situations? God is bigger, much bigger than anything that we could face in life, even these dark spiritual things that we were going to be dealing with that day. So we got into the car, we were driving to the house, kind of like pulled up on the side before we entered this massive, they're a very wealthy couple. It was like a massive 12-bedroom mansion. It was one of those ones where they had to buzz us in, gates open, and then we drove in for a good half a mile until we got to their house. But we kind of like parked up to the side, and Aaron started praying, and he said, you know, God, your light, and we don't have to go there and struggle and fight with any sort of darkness there, because as soon as the light comes, darkness disappears. And so we went there, we got into the house, and weirdly enough, we'd not felt anything resistant or anything like that, anything of the sort. So we got in, we started sort of like talking to them, and I turned around to Aaron. I said, What are you feeling now? You know, I said, I feel alright. I'm actually quite at peace. I said, it's really weird, but I can feel the presence of God here. But this is weird. Like, this is where they've been experiencing all these dark spiritual things. So why is this happening? But it was quite evident that God was in that place, and whatever was there was no longer there. Weirdly enough, quick little side note: the builder that had come home. The medium had left something there that they really wanted removed, and it was in the garden basically. It was like a wooden board that he had used, and they were convinced that he'd used that as part of his medium work to contact their dead uncle, whatever it was that he said that he'd done. They said, look, before you go, please, can you please remove that? I was instantly like, yep, let's do it. And myself, Sarah, and Aaron, and my brother-in-law, who was also there, we went to the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And they led us into the garden. Amazingly, it was no longer there.
Really?
And they're the only two people that live in that house. No one else is in that house. Both their parents are away, abroad. There's no one that lives in that house. So they were gobsmacked. They were like, where has it gone? To me, I was like, I knew that God was in this, yeah. and whatever was there, if we weren't meant to remove it, God had already removed it.
Yeah.
But God really proved to us that day that whatever was happening, he was in it, all over it. So we had a little moment to pray with them. We ate pizza. We just chilled, spoke to them. Nothing too spiritually heavy.
Yeah.
Just really just spoke to them and became friends with them. Moving about 3 weeks after that forward, they'd come to church. And one day during church service, gave their lives to Christ. Just
that's awesome.
They you know, they said to me after after that day when they'd received prayer, they said from that day on, all that weird stuff that was going on at home had stopped happening. They said that we feel so much peace at home, and they knew that this peace had only come from Jesus.
Mm.
That no matter what other gods they'd run to, nothing happened. Sometimes they said it got worse when they approached all these other methods of Hinduism, and they said only Jesus could give them the peace that they were looking for. It's incredible because we're now, myself and Sarah are doing life with them. We are journeying with them. We meet up with them. We go out for food. We are more than convinced that they will be a part of our lives for a very, very long time. I'm excited because they're getting involved in church now. They're learning about Christ. You know, it's amazing how God draws people to the church, but how he reveals himself to people individually. To them, it's a massive, massive change what they've experienced. And God isn't just an idea to them. God is real to them because of what they had experienced and what and the sort of freedom that they're living in now. Amazing, amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's huge. Mm. Really cool to hear how God's been moving in that. We've nearly wrapped up with our time, but just before we go, just want to say, tell me a little bit more about just sort of what you're excited for, I guess ahead for you and Sarah for going forwards, what you're looking ahead for in life, faith, church, work. Just say a little bit about that.
So I always believe that everything that you're exposed to, or everything that you come across, or you every person that you come across, they play a part into your journey in your life. So right now we've come across this couple, and now we've sort of started being involved with other people right now who are also involved in ministry. We've made so many good friends with particularly Nordjavan. Like, we consider Nordjavan to be our family. So right now we know that God is strongly and quite loudly directing us towards Nordjavan, and our journey which with Nordjavan that began in 2014 now is going strong. And Sarah loves Nordjavan, and we know that this is where our family is, and this is where we're going to do what God wants us to do. But particularly we feel like God is leading us into, well, obviously we're still involved with our ministry in East London, which is where we're based. We live in East London, and that's where we're serving. That's a community that we're serving right now. But also just being involved with like various other churches, and just God is amazing, the way that he networks and the way that he connects people, all these divine connections that you thought could never happen. I mean, you and I both met through Nordjavan, but we were able to sit down and share stories. It's amazing to hear what's going on. But really, for me and Sarah, it's this is what it's about, making connections and building networks. And at the moment, we feel that God is leading us into just building connections, building networks, just really connecting with people who are also about the same dream. Yeah. And that is about the building his kingdom. So for us right now, building networking is what we're doing right now at the moment.
That's awesome, bro. Thank you so much for chatting to us and for sharing that story. It's amazing to hear what God's been doing. And wish you all the best with what's going on for you and Sarah. Thank you again for joining.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks.
That was me chatting to Ramzi Kamalendran, and we're so grateful to Ramzi for sharing how God has been moving in his and Sarah's life. And it's such a powerful story of God working in everyday life in amazing ways, and we're so thankful for them. Before we turn to hearing some music, we wanted to let you know about a Nordjyvan event happening this month. Nordjyvan East London is happening Saturday the 14th of March at Emmanuel Community Church, Walthamstow. Doors will be open from 6 p.m. This will be a great night of gathering for worship, prayer, teaching, testimonies, a lot of fun, and of course, some great food. Now, if you're listening to this podcast on the day of its release, that's Friday the 13th, then this event is tomorrow. So please do check out the Nordjyvan website and the social media for more details. We hope to see you there. We're now going to hear a track from Anita Jolly. Anita has been a friend of Nordjyvan for many years and recently released an album with a number of songs that she has written. We're now going to listen to one of these songs, Tere Ghar. We hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have enjoyed this podcast, then make sure you hit the subscribe button. please tell your friends, your families, and your churches. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please consider leaving us a review. Our episodes go out every month on the second Friday of the month. You can find out more about Nordjavan at nordjavan.com and on all our social media, or email us at podcast@nordjavan.com. Join us next time when we will be having some exciting conversations for our Easter special. See you next time!